Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. And if you're not familiar with my show, you can head on over to the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And I have another guest standing by. This is going to be a very interesting topic. If you're really interested in your health, physical health, mental health, what you eat, which should be really important. And I was telling my guest, Dr. Catherine Shanahan, who's written this book, Dark Calories, how vegetable oils destroy our health and how we can get it back. Years ago, I used to eat a ton of junk food, was addicted to diet sodas, and I always found it funny when I think back, ordering a bacon double cheeseburger and having a Diet Coke with my large fries. Ridiculous. She is standing by right now, and we're going to get into it. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Shanahan.
I'm so glad to be here with you, Janine.
Well, when I heard about your book, Dark Calories, about how vegetable oils destroy our health and how we can get it back, I realized how over the years I've changed, you know, what I put into my body and why, and I feel like this is such an important topic because it's really confusing.
Yeah, this is actually the most important topic because it is so prevalent in our foods that we're consuming these, what I call dark calories, a collection of 8 vegetable seed oils. So it's not like all vegetable oils like olive oil or coconut are a problem. Mm-hmm. It's just these 8, and it has to do with like how they're produced and how they're refined and how and their chemistry, which is unique. Fairly unique, yeah, for stuff in our food supply. We've never eaten so much of these sorts of chemicals before, and it's changing our metabolisms. It's changing the way our brains work. It's changing our cravings. It's making people sugar addicts. Mm-hmm. It makes people crave alcohol. I mean, it has really powerful effects on every aspect of our bodies and, you know, our gut health. And medical science is completely overlooking these oils as a positive agent.
Wow. I mean, I think about the domino effect of these oils in whether it's fast food or even whatever product that's labeled as natural or healthy, and just the ramifications long term on your health. I put up on the show blog something that was sent to me about your book, and there's a fact which blew my mind. Did you know that consuming a large serving of French fries cooked in vegetable oil delivers the toxicity of smoking 24 cigarettes? What? Wow.
Yeah, that I know, it's crazy. And that is from a world-renowned toxicologist, right? You might think it's some kind of scaremongering, the sky is falling sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But no, this is solid research. And he tested their standard restaurant French fries because there was a reason he picked out French fries. And it has to do with the fact that the oils in the fryer are continuously heated for days on end.
Oh, right.
And so they deteriorate during that time. And really the only sorts of fats that should be put in a deep fryer are the old-fashioned things like tallow, that have a whole different chemistry that doesn't deteriorate so fast. But these vegetable oils, these 8 vegetable oils, like corn, canola, cottonseed, soy, sunflower, safflower, and there's 2 others, those 8, they deteriorate when they're heated. They react with oxygen. And that reaction creates chemical changes that generate these toxins. So that's where the toxins are coming from. They're not in the seed, they're not in corn, they're not in soy, they're not in sunflowers, but they are generated out of the oils when they react with oxygen. And so the worst of the worst is the deep fryer, but it happens all along the food chain. It happens starting in the factory. Wow. And then when you cook with it, that more toxins will form, even at home, when you're frying at home.
Yeah. So if you're heating an oil much too hot, you're actually creating something toxic.
Actually, the toxins are already there. They leave the factory with anywhere from 0.6 to 5% toxin in even bottles like organic expeller pressed canola oil, right? So you can't go buy organic. You have to memorize these hateful eight oils. That's what I call them. There's eight of them. And you have to memorize them because these are toxic. And when they're in the food supply and an ingredient in your food or your restaurant is serving them, they are always going to have toxins in them. They start out with toxins. And then they just light, you know, just being exposed to light. That's why they say keep your bottles in a cool, dark place.
Okay.
But the minute you take them out, light hits them. That's how fragile these compounds are. They're called polyunsaturated fatty acids, and it's different from the fats that are in old-fashioned thing and old-fashioned fats.
Which are saturated.
Like butter.
They're saturated. Okay.
Right, right. Yeah, and the reason, you know, the thing is that makes this confusing is that doctors are intentionally misled that to believe, this happened to me, I was trained this way, to believe that saturated fat is bad, right? Like we've all heard that, saturated
yes.
fat, that's the one. That you got to avoid that because that's going to do something like raise cholesterol or clog your arteries.
Yes.
You know, most people don't really know exactly what it does. They just know that it's bad. But the truth is it doesn't do any of that. And it's not bad. It was all created out of the mastermind of an advertising man named Ed Bernays in the 20th century. And he totally changed the conversation around nutrition. And it has to do with funding that a company donated to the American Heart Association, of all things, right?
Wow.
So the American Heart Association took over the whole conversation around nutrition because thanks to all the money that they got from the vegetable oil industry.
Look,
talk about conflicts of
that.
Interest.
Wow. Unbelievable. I do want to mention those hateful eight one more time. Corn, canola, cottonseed, which I have no idea what that is, soy, sunflower, safflower, grapeseed, rice bran.
Yep, that's it. Those are the bad ones. And those are, they were never cultivated for oil, most of them. And that's part of the problem. There, in other words, there's no such thing as virgin soy oil. We really should be eating just virgin or unrefined oils,
okay.
Like, you know, coconut oil that's unrefined is better than refined, but even refined coconut oil is not as bad as the Hateful Eight.
Okay.
And we know it's like with olive oil, right? Like you want your olive oil to be extra virgin or at least virgin. You don't want the refined olive oil. It's just not as good. But
yeah.
When it comes to these eight, when they are refined, because of their instability, they just turn into toxins. And
I see.
We haven't talked about how much we're actually eating. They're eating, if you eat like the average American, you've probably been eating somewhere around 30% of your total daily calories from this collection of eight oils.
Ugh.
And like, yeah, cottonseed, like, you know, you don't think you eat cottons, right? Cotton seeds, who would eat that? Well, it's actually a very common oil added to crackers.
Okay. I had no idea. I don't even know what grape seed. What exactly is grape seed, by the way?
Yeah, so grape seed is oil that you get from the seeds of grapes, right? You can, if you work hard enough, if you add enough heat, in other words, and solvents and pressure, and basically abuse the seed, you can extract oil efficiently. But that process of heat and abuse, it literally damages the compounds at a molecular level and creates new compounds that don't exist in nature and that are unnatural, that we shouldn't eat, and that many of them have toxic effects.
Yeah.
And the thing that I talk about in Dark Calories that is, I just want to drop this out in the world because it's so important to get our heads wrapped around this. You know, everybody talks about processed food as being bad, but no one's yet really identified what are the features. How do you know if something should be considered a processed food? How do you know if it's bad?
Yeah.
And Dark Calories explains that. And vegetable oils is the worst of the worst ingredients, but there's actually three others. And I want people to know what they are so that they can identify when they're eating a processed food. And so if whatever you're eating, whatever you're buying, has got either, any one of these means it's basically a processed food. It's going to have bad effects on your health. So the vegetable oils are the worst. But if it's got a whole bunch of refined flour, you know, like something as innocent as a bagel. These days, that refined flour is not, you know, wholesome anymore. So it basically is a processed food. Not as bad for you as the vegetable oils, but it's not good. And sugar, any kind of sugar.
And then
the refined proteins,
like
soy protein.
Soy
protein isolate.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Pea protein and a lot of the whey protein powders that people are selling. Those that is highly processed as well, and nobody's talking about that and what those health effects are.
So pea and protein is bad.
Any kind of powderized protein, it's not food.
I know. It's true. It is not food. You know what's so funny? When I asked you earlier, well, what is grapeseed? Because even the word sunflower, you think, oh, it sounds so pretty. It's such a almost like a marketing thing that we're led to believe that these names. I even almost bought organic grapeseed oil years ago, and then I thought, I don't even know what this is. I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, sunflowers are perfectly healthy. It's just that the way that we extract the oil and the nature of the oil, the polyunsaturated fatty acids that it has, they react with oxygen, and they the big molecules break into small ones, and it's kind of like breaking a glass. You know, the little shards are harmful, right? You can drink out of a glass perfectly safely, but if you got little shards of glass, you don't want to move suddenly, right? You might step on something or hurt yourself. So it's kind of the analogy of how oxygen breaks these polyunsaturates down into harmful compounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens during the processing of these hateful eight oils. And then when we cook with them, it gets worse. And, of course, the worst thing is the deep-fried stuff in restaurant fryers because it's so hot, and they use it for days, sometimes weeks, without replacing it. It's really just swill by the end. So, you know, if you want some French fries, you can make them at home, and you should make them with a healthy oil or fat. And I have a list in my book of, like, what you can really use. You can make almost everything. Like, a lot of folks are probably tired of hearing how many things are toxic, I would imagine. But if you're out there listening, I want you to hear this message that you can eat anything, any food. It won't be toxic. It may not be so nutritious, like, for example, a bagel, but at least you'll know it's processed food. But the oils are toxic, and you can make anything under the sun that has these oils better just by using a better oil.
Yeah. And so you suggest butter, extra virgin olive oil, or unfiltered, unrefined olive oil, unrefined peanut oil, unrefined coconut oil. What does it mean, unrefined?
Yeah, so it means it tastes. It's like virgin, right? Like a virgin olive oil tastes like olive oil. It's green.
Okay.
If it's not filtered, it has little tiny chunks of olives actually in there from the fruit that got pressed through.
Okay.
And, yeah, the same is true for all quality oils. In theory, you could have a high-quality sunflower oil, but you're not going to find it in restaurants. It's going to cost, you know, an arm and a leg because these high-quality oils, the fact is they just cost more. So they're not used in processed food.
Okay.
They're not used in, like, mayonnaise is something that a lot of people don't realize is generally made with a soy oil or a Hateful Eight. It's America's most popular condiment. And so that's why there's a whole bunch of different companies now that sell mayonnaise made with coconut oil or avocado oil or olive oil. Most grocery stores will have one. You can identify it because it's going to be sold in a smaller jar, and it's going to cost more. But it means that, like your ranch dressing, it can actually be really healthy.
A couple questions. In other countries, are some of these items not used in cooking? Do you know?
Well, they used to not be. Like, in fact, in this country, until the industrial era, these oils didn't exist. Like, they're industrial products. They couldn't have existed without the extensive refining because we didn't have the technology to even make the crude soy oil. We didn't have the technology to do that at scale, right? So it just wasn't done.
Yeah.
And so, however, over the past century, over the past, especially the 20th century, more countries started growing these. More countries started. What we did in America here is the American Heart Association, who took money from Procter & Gamble that sold soy oil, they started terrifying doctors that that butter and the fats people had been eating throughout time were going to clog their patients' arteries. And they sold these oils with no evidence to support these claims, they sold these oils as anti-heart attack foods,
yes.
like it was a heart attack prevention diet. And that idea was not strongly countered, and it was so heavily promoted because they had so much money behind it that now it's seeped into the entire medical education system around the world, all doctors around the world. America has exported this deadly idea about you should eat these polyunsaturated oils. And shortly after that, we started exporting the technology for growing and refining these oils all around the world. And now you see places like Japan, where there was almost no obesity 30 mm-hmm. years ago. Now their obesity rates are skyrocketing because they've been eating the same kind of junky oils. People think it's like the McDonald's, like because they think it's because of, oh, well, the saturated fat must be those, you know, all that red meat and stuff. Yeah, but it's not fast food generally. We need to understand exactly the issue. It is these oils and the other four main ingredients, which aren't so great for you. Mm-hmm. But these oils first and foremost.
Yeah, I remember my dad, he had heart disease, and when he had his quadruple bypass, they said, no butter, no bacon, no this, no that, and you have to use, I think that we were using sunflower oil. I mean, we were olive oil, but, you know, no one knew.
Well, doctors thought that was the cutting-edge research. Like I say, we were all misled, and, you know, that basically the doctor's office, the cholesterol screening test has become, I call it like the gateway into the sick care industry, because if you're a healthy person and you go in for your physical and your doctor finds that your cholesterol is high, he's going to tell you that's a problem, but it's not. And this whole business about cholesterol clogging heart attacks is totally tied to this same lie that the American Heart Association has been feeding us since, you know, for the past 70 years. Since they accepted that money from Procter & Gamble, the salespeople for soy and cottonseed oil.
Oh, unbelievable. How did this become an interest to you? I know you're a Cornell-trained biochemist.
Yeah, well, you know what? I always wanted to get to the root causes. You know, I wasn't happy working for a lot of my career in the beginning because I didn't like just refilling people's drugs, you know? Mm-hmm. I had such a huge part of my patient population that I wasn't sure I was helping them. You know, they had high blood pressure and I was supposed to manage that with drugs. They had high cholesterol and I was supposed to manage that with drugs. They mm-hmm. had diabetes and I just gave them drugs, but their diabetes kept getting worse. They would gain weight, then they would get heart failure. They would get kidney failure. They would have heart attacks and strokes. I didn't feel like I was making anyone better.
Right.
And
you weren't.
And it wasn't. No, I wasn't. I truly wasn't. And I didn't know where to look. Like I knew there had to be some problem here, some disconnect, and I didn't know where to look for answers.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I myself got very, very ill that I started looking into nutrition, and then I immediately came across the fact, this term, essential fats, and I learned that everything I'd learned about fats was backwards. I had learned saturated fat was unhealthy, but I knew from my chemistry lessons that, hey, wait a second, when you think about oxidation, which has a lot to do with our health,
mm-hmm.
and oxidation promotes a lot of diseases. So when you think about it from oxidation point of view, saturated fat doesn't really oxidize, and polyunsaturated fats do, as we've been talking about in this whole conversation.
Sure.
And so that was where I first was like, okay, this is something I need to know.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I had no idea how important it was when I first started. I just thought it was interesting and, you know, maybe there would be some answers. I didn't expect it to be like the next 22 years of my life where I would be trying to get the word out, because literally this is the answer that you've been looking for, you know, in your health. If you feel like something is missing, start here.
Yes.
Because the root cause of everything, as I've learned and as I talk about in Dark Calories, the root cause of death and disease is this chemical process that has to do with oxidation and how it reacts with our cells.
Sure.
And vegetable oils make that reaction go out of control. Really, vegetable oils are like accelerating aging. and they're bringing about disease.
Like, wow.
I call vegetable oils are like oxidative stress in a bottle. When you have them in your diet, your food is basically an all-you-can-eat buffet of chronic disease.
Mm. Well, I will say this, because several of the things you were mentioning make me think of how we really need to be a detective when it comes to our own health. And just with you, you were just giving pills and, you know, prescribing. And, you know, when I was little, I had terrible eczema and I ate a lot of chocolate. I ate all the things I was allergic to. And so if I came to you and you said, well, here's some medicine, you know, here's the ointment and here, whatever. And you never asked, like, what are you eating? And
too many doctors don't do that.
Yeah, and the doctors don't do that. Yeah.
We don't get trained, right? Like, you know, I was just talking to somebody the other day about their multiple sclerosis, and I was letting them know, you know, multiple sclerosis, that's driven by oxidative stress. You can definitely recover a huge, you know, portion of your mobility, no matter how long you've had multiple sclerosis, just by improving your nutrition. And then, of course, he said, well, why didn't my doctor tell me that? And I had to say, because your doctor has never seen it happen. Your doctor doesn't know it's possible because your doctor doesn't know the power of nutrition.
I mean, not all doctors, but there are a lot of doctors that do not. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody I've ever met yet has understood that vegetable oils and oxidative stress mm-hmm. and the other four ingredients are the root cause. Like, you'll hear people talking about other things, mm-hmm. like uric acid. Well, right? I don't know if you've heard about that. Like, the toxic superfoods, uric
yes.
acid, you got to worry about that. Your body can't handle uric acid the same way because of vegetable oils, right? So uric
yes.
acid is this thing that's in spinach. It is in chocolate. It's in a lot of foods. But your body also makes uric acid, and this is the thing that people don't know because we don't learn about oxidative stress. We don't understand the chemistry. Your body actually makes oxalates. Did I say uric acid?
I
meant
yes.
oxalate.
Oh, okay.
I meant oxalates.
I was like, wait, I have to give up spinach? I'm not listening to you.
Oh, right. So spinach has uric acid, right? And
yes.
you don't have to give it up. You just have to keep your body healthy
mm-hmm.
because your body can handle the little bit of uric acid. Oh, I keep saying that.
It's okay.
The little bit of oxalates in spinach. Chocolate has oxalates, too.
What's an oxalate?
Like many,
wait, excuse me. What's an oxalate?
An oxalate is a tiny little molecule that forms crystals in our kidneys under certain conditions, and is the main type of ingredient in kidney stones. So there's people talking about how you got to avoid these oxalates, but the truth is you don't. As long as you don't have a lot of kidney stones, you mm-hmm. don't even have to worry about it. And so most people don't. The reason people think you have to avoid oxalates is because when your diet is full of processed food,
mm-hmm.
and your body's subjected to this thing called oxidative stress, well, oxalate and oxidative stress sound a little bit the same, don't they?
Right.
That's because oxalates form when your body has too much oxidative stress.
Got it.
You see? They form in your body.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what you eat.
Yes.
They will form in your body. And so people are running around scrambling, looking at how many oxalates are in, all these different foods. And there's hardly any vegetables they can't eat. There's hardly any nuts that they can eat anymore because there's oxalates in so many of these foods. And they're terrified of this. They're terrified they're going to get kidney stones. They hear that it can even cause eczema. That's why I thought maybe you would have heard of it, because some people have been talking about that now lately. It's just lately. It's new, a new thing since this new book came out. But this person who wrote this book, even though she understands the power of food,
mm-hmm.
did not learn about oxidative stress. It's a chemical thing that doctors just don't learn about. But it is truly the root cause of everything that's bad out there. Yeah. It's the root cause of diabetes, of dementia, even of cancer. I could go down the list.
Oh, I believe
I could
it.
Write a book about it.
So that'll be your next one. No. Well, we have to wrap up, unfortunately, but I want to direct listeners over to Dr. Kate with a C, CATE.com. Anywhere else you'd like people to find you?
Well, yeah. So please follow me on social media. And my handle is Dr. Kate Shanahan, D-R-C-A-T-E Shanahan, on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for calling in. This very, very important book. Sounds like you could even be training doctors on what and what not to do, because
that would be my dream, Janine. I would love to do that.
Yeah,
it's
so important. So thank you again. I congratulate you. This is a very important book.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
That was Dr. Catherine Shanahan, and if you missed any part of our conversation, I'll have it on the show blog in just a little bit. And the show blog is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. If you want to find out more about KUCI, you can head over to our website, which is kuci.org. And we have our complete schedule, mix of public affairs and music shows. And you can also follow us on all the socials, KUCI FM. If you want to find out about being a guest on my show, send me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, that's J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. Have a great Wednesday, everyone. Have a happy 4th, and I'll be back next week.